All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to SaberSims DFS Office Hours. It is Friday, May 20th of 2022. I started the stream today before I posted the message in Slack that I was going live. It threw me off a little bit. So if you were sitting here staring at me typing for a couple seconds, that is why. If this is your first time watching or listening to DFS Office Hours, this is a live open Q&A style show where I answer questions from the SaberSim community about SaberSim. About DFS strategy, whatever you guys really want to talk about. So if you have questions that you'd like answered on this show, you can email us, support@sabersim.com. You can ask your questions in YouTube chat live if you're here with me live. And you can post questions in the Office Hours channel in Slack. There is a link to join the Slack community in the description of every past video if you are not already there. A bit of housekeeping, I guess, to start things off with today's stream. First of all, I know we ran into a little bit of trouble with the recording for yesterday's stream. YouTube locked that video, and it seems like it is dead. It is gone. So I re-uploaded it just to see what would happen there. So if you were looking for yesterday's video, there is a re-uploaded version now up available on YouTube. The audio version is up on all major podcast outlets as well, as if you want to just listen to it. So I'm not really sure exactly what happened there, but if you were looking for yesterday's video, it is up there now in the re-recorded version. I know there's also been some reports, people have been saying that they've had issues with the previous video taking a long time to buffer. I think that is a YouTube thing as well. I've noticed that on my end, it will say it's processing for a long time, up to, you know, 8 hours sometimes past when the stream runs. So if you're having issues with that previous video buffering, I would say a couple things. One, if you give it a little bit more time to process, I don't know why YouTube is posting it and making it available if they can't play the video yet. But if you give it a little bit more time to process, it should play through completely. And the podcast version of the show does process a lot faster. So the podcast version has been up a lot sooner if you want to go that route. Or, of course, check out the show live. But not really sure what's going on there. YouTube letting us down a little bit this week with both the processing of the show and keeping these past recordings up. So I don't know really what's going on there. One other thing I wanted to note here before we dive in, and I think there's already some questions in our queue here for today, but there was a big update that went out yesterday. It pretty decent facelift overall to the app, a lot of overall cleanup, some new features, a better quick swap, the ability to fill your entries from the build screen, and also the ability to send exposures and projections from a build back to the home screen. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. If you sign into the app, you will now, at least the first time you sign in since this update went live, you'll see a video that I recorded walking through everything. So if you want to see that video, you'll get access to it if you sign into the app. You can also see it on our YouTube channel here. Scroll down a little bit on our channel under the Mastering SaberSims Tool and Optimizer playlist. This most recent 7-minute video here walks through that as well. So I think all the updates overall, pretty intuitive. It should make things easier to use, not harder to use. But if you want a little direction there, go check out those videos. But we've got some questions already in our queue here for today. So I mentioned a couple questions about some of those new features, about NBA showdown strategy. I saw a question about percentiles as well. So we'll start to just dig in here in just a moment. But as always, if you have questions for me today, fire away now, get them in the queue, and we will answer questions in about the order that they come in. So let's go ahead. I want to start here, and we're gonna start with a question from Alvin. I think this is a fun one to get us started with here. And he said, using yesterday's showdown as an example, what steps in SaberSim could you implement to get more unique captains, Marcus Smart, for example, and off the board plays, Duncan Robinson, for example? I X'd out Butler and Tatum at captain as an ownership play and got a lot of Adebayo and Brown captain builds. I also played a lot of 5-1s, 4-2s for the blowout game script and built with a high sim variance, but didn't end up quite with the right mix of players. Should I diversify exposures more, be aggressive with projections, etc.? Thank you. Let's bounce back to yesterday and run a build and kind of see what we're getting out of this here. So we'll bounce back and run this and see what we get. So I'm just going to build, we'll do default settings, zero. It's going to be a 0-0-10 for like a 20 max or something kind of build and see what we get. I mean, honestly, it seems like you've got a pretty good grasp of the tools at your disposal here already. I wouldn't say, you know, if you're asking specifically, is there one thing that you should be doing versus the other in terms of editing exposures versus projections or whatever, I wouldn't say there's like a right or a wrong way to do it, but I'll kind of try to recreate your build here a little bit and just talk a little bit more about like what you can do here. So you had said that you had faded, it looks like Tatum and Butler captains. X'd out Butler and Tatum captains. And this is actually pretty similar to like some of the strategy that I use when I'm doing this here. And X'd out the balance builds to shoot for a blowout kind of game script here. So we've got, okay. So, and I'm kind of seeing a similar thing, right? Getting to a lot of Bam at captain, a little bit of Jaylen Brown here. And then, you know, the 4-2 game stacks. From there, if there are specific players that you are trying to target, right? Maybe you think there's an opportunity, 1.5 percentage owned Marcus Smart captain to get a little more exposure there. I think that, you know, you can bump up his exposure if you have an idea of how much you want to get. Maybe you want 40%. You want him to be your highest exposed captain. Bumping up the exposure is a good way to go. You know, another thing that you can do here is bump up his projection, right, from this screen. So maybe say, you know, let's see what happens if Marcus Smart is actually 10% higher projected, right? So let's bump him up to 33.3, right? What's the impact of that on our builds? And that'll also bump up, if you bump that up in the utility column, that'll bump him up in the captain column as well. And I mean, I think it's interesting here to note that even with a projection bump increase, we're not really getting to any more of him at all. Actually, you know what? That seems weird. Hold on. I wonder. Interesting. I actually think, you know what? I think there's actually a small bug here that I'm just noticing now. It doesn't seem like updating projections in step three is adjusting exposures correctly to me. Let's see. Yeah, that doesn't seem right. Well, hold on. Let's use the report a problem link here and report this. Oops. Because it doesn't seem like this is working. Yeah, so Alvin's here. And he said, I noticed the projection thing yesterday too. Yeah, so Alvin, this looks like a bug to me. And we'll go ahead and report this here. Updating projections in the build screen is not adjusting lineups / exposures. So that's not good, but we'll get that fixed quickly here. And I'll bring that up with the team here as well as soon as I hop off, because that's not a very fun one. The point I was trying to make is when this is working correctly, I think there's kind of two ways to do it. You can, if you know what exposure you want to a particular player, you can just bump that exposure up on that guy. I think another creative way to do this is to bump up, you know, if you take Marcus Smart's projection, if it's working correctly, and bump it up 10% or so, you can kind of almost use SaberSim as an advisor in that case and say, how, if Marcus Smart's projection was 10% higher, how much exposure would be appropriate at that point? And maybe you're not so opinionated about getting 30 or 40 or 50% exposure at the captain spot, but you just want to bump him up in general. I think that can be another good way to do it there as well. So really not a wrong way to go about this. You know, similar, I know you had mentioned Duncan Robinson. You know, if you're not getting, he's not actually projected here. Okay. So that actually is an interesting case here as well. I don't know. So we see like PJ Tucker has a zero projection too. I didn't play yesterday. I didn't have a chance to watch this game. I assume he got hurt. Since we're doing a past slate, if somebody gets hurt in the game, their projection is going to zero out in the back testing. I'm not sure if that's the same thing that happened here. Did Duncan Robinson get hurt in the game yesterday? Let me go look and see. Okay, so this is an interesting situation. So it looks like Robinson didn't get hurt. It looks like we just had him unprojected to play. That's what it appears to be for me in this case here. We just didn't have him in the rotation, and then he got minutes and clearly had a pretty good game. If you have a read on a player that is going to get minutes that we're not projecting any minutes for, you will have to set those guys for a custom projection. You will have to give them some kind of projection. And you can come in here and even give them like, you know, a very light projection, which will at least allow him to show up in the sims. So if we run this again now, we should at least get some exposure to Duncan Robinson, and then we can go ahead and put him into the lineups. But for players that are truly projected for 0.0 points, you will get none of that player by default. We are assuming they are not going to see the floor at all. If they see the floor in any sims, they get they will get some kind of a projection and then will show up in your lineups. But unprojected players will not be showing up there at all. So now we should be able to go in here and at least try to get maybe 10% exposure to a guy like Duncan Robinson. And we can get a little bit of access to him. And I mean, that's a good way to get an edge. I've mentioned it here before, right? Like in the playoffs, especially early in the series. So Alvin said Robinson didn't get any game one run, mostly played in a blowout. It's a little tough to project, but I like the idea of a small projection. Yeah, I think that can be, you know, I think that can be interesting. That's where it gets pretty tough. If you've got a read on a guy that might get action in a blowout, especially if you're already building lineups to a blowout type game script, right? I think that can be a really good way. I mean, I imagine Duncan Robinson had to just be microscopically owned last night, right? If it was believed that he wasn't going to play across most different projection models, probably a guy that was just a very, very low owned play. So if you're targeting blowout game scripts, I don't hate the idea of looking at some of these guys that maybe can get a little blowout run and giving them a light projection. I think it gets hard to figure out, you know, who's actually going to be the guy that gets in the game. But if you've got a read there and now, you know, probably at least a good reason to believe that, you know, some of the guys that played in this blowout might get a little bit of run in a second blowout if we were to get another one, right? But you will have to set those projections there on guys if you want to see them in your pool there. So anyway, I guess kind of to sum up here, I know we've kind of been all over the place with this question. So first of all, the projections not updating lineups, that looks like a bug to me. We'll get that fixed. I've reported that already. So that should get fixed here pretty quickly. And I apologize for that. When that's working correctly, it doesn't really matter if you want to use editing exposures versus editing projections, et cetera, in terms of how you want to get those lineups dialed in. Either should be fine. I think you're using a strong approach here. It sounds similar to my strategy here of the way I like to tackle this kind of thing here. And if you want exposure to a player that is projected for 0.0, a true zero projection, you will have to add a projection to them before the build. Otherwise, they are not going to show up in your lineups. And I think that can be a good way to get an edge in playoff basketball, especially if you're already targeting blowout game scripts in your lineup construction. But it is hard to know who's going to get that run. That is a hard question to answer. We have a little bit more information now, right? In terms of what a blowout might be in game three or game four or game five or whatever, if we get another blowout, but now so does the field, right? Knowing who's going to get that blowout run before the field does is the hard part. So, but cool. Craig said, why is ownership fade set to zero as a default for Showdown? Isn't avoiding dupes one of the most important aspects of Showdown? Yeah, I think at one point this was set a little bit higher, and maybe it got turned down here. I'm not sure. It looks like we made an update there. So I will probably have to follow up as well. I know, so ownership fade in baseball, we had turned ownership fade in baseball Showdown was pretty high, and we had turned it down to zero there just because it was causing some issues where you were getting a lot of relievers and stuff like that. It looks like we may have also turned it down for basketball here as well. I think, especially if you're playing large field GPPs, I think it makes some sense maybe to turn this back up a little bit here. You do get, you know, you do a lot of the heavy lifting of avoiding duplication does come into play just with a sim precision of 10. Just because you're using single game simulations, and the ranges of outcomes are so wide with single game sims that your lineup portfolio is likely already to be lower chances of being duplicated, and overall a much more diverse pool of lineups than a lot of what other traditional optimizers would build. But I don't hate the idea of turning up the ownership fade slider a little bit here, at least to try to protect against the duplication a bit there as well. I do think the most powerful adjustments you can make to avoid duplication when you're playing Showdown often come on the individual build. I think, you know, you get a lot more out of creating a unique lineup, thinking about that, the construction of that lineup, and I think in particular the captain player, as opposed to kind of a blanket ownership fade type adjustment, right? There could be lineups that, you know, just purely from an ownership number standpoint alone, appear to be unduplicated. But because of the construction of that lineup and the salary used and maybe the captain used, that actually that lineup has a decent overall chance to be duplicated. So I think I prefer to, well, I don't even want to say to prefer. I think you can make powerful adjustments to avoid duplication by looking at your roster construction and looking at your captain usage on the build screen. But I do still think that, you know, especially for the large field stuff, it may make sense to have this ownership fade slider at least non-zero. And I will follow up to see if that was an intentional change that we made there, or why ownership fade has since become zero for all showdowns, because it looks like it has. So that's a good question as well. But Eight Game said, I played 450 lineups between FanDuel and DK and not one had Duncan. Yeah, I mean, on SaberSim, if we have a guy projected for zero, we are assuming he does not get into the rotation in any sims, right? So that you are going to get zero if that happens. And figuring out, you know, most of the time that's not going to pay off, right? Like, frankly, you know, if you're taking shots on like Yurt Seven and Duncan Robinson and all these guys to get in the game in the event of a significant blowout, most of the time that's not going to pay off for you. Not to say it's a bad strategy. Obviously, it can be particularly profitable when you are right, but there are a lot of names down here, and figuring out who those guys are going to be can be pretty tough. So, and then said, on Fantasy Cruncher, I add 5 points to play like this. Editing or importing our projections in SaberSim is easy also. Yeah, I mean, so you can, if you wanted to give one of these guys a little bit of a bump, right? Maybe, you know, Yurt Seven, I think, is a decent bet to get some blowout run. You can just bump up his projection, right? And then you'll get access to that player, right? He will borrow the sim distribution of a player that with a similar projection. So we, in this case, you know, he might have Neesmith's fantasy point distribution, and then we'll use that distribution when actually building lineups, because they have a similar projection, since he's not actually in the sims here. If you want to upload custom projections, we make that super easy as well. You can just copy and paste your table. If you have column headers, we will attempt to match your column headers automatically. You can also upload a CSV instead, but uploading custom projections is super easy here. So, and then he said, would I be able to use full options during a free trial if I signed up, or is it limited until after the trial ends? If you sign up for the DFS Advanced plan, you will have full access to the app. We have two plans. We have what's called a starter plan, where you are restricted to only building 20 lineups at a time and you can't upload or download custom projections. But if you sign up for the DFS Advanced plan trial, you'll get full access to it over the course of that 7 days. So, and that includes the ability to build up to 1500 lineups at once, and uploading and downloading custom projections. So, all right, cool. Let's jump back to YouTube chat here. There were a couple other questions that came in Slack here. Okay. So Edward had asked a question about the update we pushed yesterday here. And he said, watch the new YouTube video. It's very informative. Thank you. Could you go over in more detail, or maybe just slower, the way to keep your exposures and settings from step three back to step one? I also usually play 20 maxes in the single entry and 3 max, the ones you recommend. I use different exposures and settings for each. Is there a way to save both? Even if not, this is a huge improvement overall. Okay, yeah. So I can slow down and demo this new feature in a little bit more detail. At the moment, you can't save different sets of exposures, unfortunately. So I'll show you here. Let's do this again. So we're doing a 20 max build for tonight's baseball slate. And we'll talk a little bit about this new feature here as soon as this builds. But while this is building, a couple questions I see coming in here. So 8 Game said, if I set it up for the full plan, how easy is it to cancel if I don't like it or wasn't comfortable with it? It's very easy. If you go into settings, I think I can just go back to the build. So if you go settings and then cancel account, it will cancel. As long as you do that before the 7-day trial is up, we will not charge your card. So you can also just email us, support@sabersim.com. We'll take care of that if you don't like it. Let's bounce back. Did this work the way I intended? Is the build complete? Maybe not. Try a refresh here. Oh, there we go. Let's see here. Okay, so we have our build up. So this new feature, right? So let's say we want to cap some exposure to Chase Silseth. 60% max exposure for our 20 max. We don't want to be almost all in on Chase here. Maybe we want to be a little bit cautious with some of our pitching exposure here. So we cap some of these guys and let's go see if we can find a pitcher that maybe we want to get some exposure to. Maybe we want to play a little Manea, right? Maybe we want to match the field on Manea. All right, cool. So we've got these exposures now. So this new button right here, right, now will allow you to send the projections, the custom projections, the custom exposures, or both back to the home screen. When you send this, it will overwrite whatever you have on the home screen. So if you have custom projections, custom exposures, things like that there, it will overwrite that. If you only send exposures, it'll only overwrite exposures. If you only send projections, same deal there. But it will overwrite whatever you have on the home screen. But when we click send, we can now come back to projections here, and we'll see that these min and max exposures are now set. So we can use this now for a future build. You won't be able to, as Edward mentioned here, do this separately for multiple different build types. So if you build your 20 max and then send those exposures home, you can use that as kind of a baseline for maybe your next 3 max build. But then when you do the 3 max build, if you send your 3 max exposures home, it'll overwrite whatever you have there as well. So you can't save multiple different exposure sets, projections, things like that. It still should be pretty helpful, at least in making that process a little bit easier. And Edward, hopefully I didn't go too fast again there. But the main thing you need to know just is kind of where this button is, lives right here. And of course that it will overwrite whatever you have on the home screen when you send it back. So cool. Let me know if that helps. If there's still some follow-up questions there, okay, a few follow-up questions here as well. So 8Game said, assuming that you've tried other optimizers, how easy is it to transition to SaberSim from Fantasy Cruncher? I've been using FC for 2 years. SaberSim seems to be a better program with more options, but I'm an old man who has trouble learning new things. Biased take, but I think SaberSim is quite a step up from FC. The main thing, and really not even just FC, but all traditional optimizers, right? The main problem with traditional optimizers is that they don't really understand upside, right? A traditional optimizer is basically just a glorified calculator that takes an average projection from a player and it optimizes for the highest average projected lineups possible. And then you have to go in and add in a bunch of rules and other things, player groups, exposure settings, stacking rules, all of this thing to kind of teach that optimizer what upside is, right? How do I correlate my lineups in baseball? How do I navigate ownership so I'm not just playing a bunch of cash lineups, right? SaberSim was basically designed to understand what upside is in a much more nuanced way, right? So I'll give you kind of a brief overview of how SaberSim is put together and what the advantages are here. So we have our average projections, right? And our ownership and things like that on this main home screen that you see when you first sign in. But our average projections are not just that. We actually simulate every game on the slate thousands of times play by play. And that allows us to understand the full range of outcomes of an actual player, right? So we may say Nestor Cortez projected for 17.22 points, but that's actually just the geometric mean, the average of the true range of outcomes that he has in his games tonight, right? And for batters, right? We can see, I think it's you can really see the difference for batters, right? Aaron Judge projected for 10.09, right? But what does his distribution actually look like here? Give this a second to load, right? This is the actual distribution for Aaron Judge, right? We also, because we're simulating these games, we can quantify the actual correlations of different batters, right? We don't have to just kind of guess or kind of assume that the Yankees bats are all correlated together, which they are. We actually can precisely quantify how correlated the Yankees bats are together. So when you go to build lineups with SaberSim, we actually pull in this information automatically in a way that is adjusted for the contest that you're playing, right? I think that's probably the hardest part about traditional optimizers, even if you're a wizard with them. You know how to set stack rules, player groups, and things like that. How do you adjust for how correlated and how much ownership you want to fade in a single entry versus a 150 max, right? What about when the size of the slate changes? You end up quickly having to come up with all of these rules of thumb and heuristics and kind of just making stuff up to teach the tool how to build good lineups for that slate. You will get viable lineups for the contest you are building on SaberSim automatically because that data gets pulled in. So say we're building a lineups for a single entry and it's 500 person, right? We will say, well, we want to take correlation into account highly. We want to take ownership fade in slightly here. And the most interesting slider is the sim precision slider, right? So we recently changed the name of this. It's now called sim precision, but this basically says how many individual simulations do we want to look at for each lineup that you're building, right? The higher this slider goes, so you can see if we go up to like the 150 max, the higher this slider is, the fewer number of game simulations we're looking at to build each individual lineup. But we're pulling in the real game sims we have from our database there. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, how much exposure do you want to the best overall plays? And like, is a player that has a good overall point per dollar value still a good upside play? We're pulling in the actual play-by-play game sims as you build lineups. So if we build these, right, this is, I think, kind of the light bulb moment for people when they first see this, right? I'm going to just say I want to build 20 max, 10 to 50K. Maybe this is for the $4 20 max on DraftKings, right? I'm going to use the default settings. I'm not going to touch any projections. And I'm going to just build some lineups here. And I'll show you what these lineups look like right out of the gate without having made any adjustments, without having any stacking rules, anything like that here. It'll take a second to build. One other thing to note, and I'll show you this as well in a second. We don't just build the number of lineups you need, right? We're not just building 20 and saying, here's your 20, you're good to go. We're going to build a much bigger pool of lineups. So in this case, 500. And that will allow you to make adjustments and sort things and change things, tweak things from there. So you can dial in and fine tune your lineups without having to start over from scratch. That's another thing that I've always found very painful about other tools out there is that if you don't like the way that a build went, you have to go back to the beginning, tweak settings, adjust exposures, and kind of just try again and hope the second time it works out better, right? In this case, you can make these adjustments here and fine tune on the fly in the build screen. We'll give this build just a second to finish up here. Some advocates here in the Slack. Alvin said, I've tried a traditional optimizer and didn't like having to create player groups and rules. SaberSim took me a couple days to get comfortable with. There's a ton of tutorial videos that are great. Yeah, our YouTube channel has a lot of content, sports-specific strategy content with SaberSim, a lot of videos walking through tutorials and things like that. So I'd check that out as well. We'll read a few more of these in a second. So, let's look at these lineups, right? So first of all, things that jumps right off the board, we're not getting massive exposure to any one player, right? Like you would get a ton of exposure to whoever the highest point per dollar guy was with a traditional tool, right? So we're getting pretty balanced exposures for 20 lineups. We're not just blindly eating all the chalk, right? We're adjusting automatically for ownership. We're actually taking kind of an underweight stand on Eric Lauer here on tonight's slate, on Javier. We're even with the field on Manea, right? Getting some leverage on Silseth, Robbie Ray, those kinds of guys. Batters, same deal, right? Fading a lot of this Yankees chalk, this Rays chalk, this Twins chalk, getting exposure to some more, you know, contrarian plays, the Rays, Mariners, et cetera. And look at these stacks, right? Without setting a single rule, 5-3, 5-2, 4-3. Right off the gate. It's because the optimizer itself understands correlation. Now, let's say you've done your own research and you want to play, you want to get some more exposure to Washington, right? Direct leverage off the Eric Lauer chalk, right? Maybe you want 15% Washington stacks. We'll go in here, we'll set a min exposure to Washington, 15%, and boom, we sort through the pool of 500 lineups to find the best 20 where at least 15% of them have a Washington stack. So that's what I was referring to when I was saying you can fine tune and get quality control your lineups here in the build screen and get everything in that way. The last thing I'll note here in terms of just SaberSim benefits, what really makes SaberSim easy, is there's no tool out there that is better at getting these lineups out of the optimizer and into your contests. So once you're ready, if you were set with this pool of lineups, all you have to do is click fill entries. You'll get this screen that says upload your entries file. If you don't already have it downloaded, you can just one click this and we'll go to DraftKings and automatically download your entries file. Drag and drop it onto this screen. And then you can fill your entries from here. So you can select specific contests that you want to fill. You can sort by different types. If you're playing GPP, cash, satellites, whatever is appropriate for your particular build. We have different fill methods here that explain different ways to actually get these entries into your lineups. But once you are ready, we can just click fill entries. I don't have enough lineups here to fill everything. So I'm just going to duplicate a few of them. But then just download, open DraftKings, and upload the entries file. And just like that, I am in business. I'm uploaded. So 8Games said, I make dozens of rules for all slates and filter thousands of lineups a day. Yeah, I think SaberSim could streamline that process significantly. One of the things that I really like about SaberSim in general is that if you are new to a sport and have a pretty basic process, SaberSim will help you get better lineups right out of the gate. And if you have a sophisticated process and maybe you've been playing for a long time, high volume kind of player, SaberSim will automate a lot of the busy work that's taking up a ton of your time and will unlock you to spend more time actually doing things that add value. So whether you're new to a sport or new to DFS or very good at a sport, have been playing DFS for a long time, it should help you either way. But cool. And I'm happy to show, I mean, I feel like that was barely scratching the surface. I do this stream every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern and talk about different features and different ways you can use the tool pretty much every single day. That was like, I think maybe the very quick elevator pitch, I guess, of what differentiates SaberSim. But I really do think it's a big improvement over a lot of what else is out there. So, but Matt makes a good point as well. He says, I've also found at times that less can be more with SaberSim. Sometimes traditional optimizer think gets in the way. Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of tools, you know, if you want to set stacking rules and player groups, especially as you're just getting familiar, you can still do that here. But I would pretty much always recommend with your first builds with SaberSim, just don't touch anything and just build lineups and just look at what those lineups look like. And then figure out based on what you are getting by default, what you need to change, right? Maybe you want to set a stacking rule because on a particular slate, you're not getting the stacks you want as much. Or maybe you want to tweak some exposures or projections in step one to target particular teams you're not getting a lot of. But if you are used to spending hours setting up all the player groups that you've had to do on other optimizers, it is unlikely that you'll have to spend even, I would say, a quarter of that time doing the same thing on SaberSim. So, but cool. Let me get caught up here. Let me read a few of these comments. There's a lot going on here. So Craig said, tough scene for Scottie Scheffler finishing at +6 after day two. Yeah, I think I am like perfectly even with the field with Scotty. I did have, so I originally earlier this week, I thought I was going to be well under on Cantlay and I wish I was. That is the guy that is killing my lineups right now. I'm not massively over the field, but he's also pretty chalky. I think I am watching like 35% of my lineups die with Cantlay. I do have a ton of Rory though, so we'll see how that all shakes out. And a lot of JT as well. But awesome. Cool. Lartar said, congrats on the winner take all contest yesterday. Jordan, saw you at the top, was a few spots behind you, so I'm coming for you next time. Yeah, it saved my slate, actually. I just had the right lineup end up in that contest with my unique fill, and it ended up going off there. I also had a fair bit of story in the Boston showdown at Captain, and he scored like 90, 96 or something at Captain. in Showdown, which was a nice little boost there as well. It did pretty well in the Boston Showdown. The main slate was okay. I guess it wasn't really the main slate yesterday. It was the night slate, but that was okay. But the winner take alls and the Boston Showdown ended up making it a pretty decent night for me here. So, but cool. Okay, I think I missed probably some things here. Let's go ahead. I did want to check on this. Maybe we can troubleshoot this together on stream here a little bit. So this was from Average Call of Duty Player. He said, in step three, when the lineups are built, you have an option on how to sort lines. I choose percentile. Then I'll build another set of lines and I'll choose a different percentile. The problem is when I choose it, it goes back and resorts the other lineups. Let's take a look at this. So where did percentiles go to? It's actually a good question here. Oh, right. Okay. Percentiles have moved around a little bit. I'm learning things too here. Reset projections. So let's see. Let's set percentile to 75th on this build. And take a look. So 75th percentile on this build. Now let's go over here and see. It does look like, okay, so it is. So, if you are watching, Mr. Average Call of Duty Player, that is also a bug. So we'll get that fixed as well. Apologize for that. So a little bit of bug catching on stream today, but that's okay. We'll get those worked out. So let's see if I missed any other questions. Anybody else have any other questions here for today's stream? I will do a little bit of a catch up as well through YouTube chat because there's a lot going on in there and make sure I didn't miss anything. This is from Christian in Slack, and he said, in your experience, do you try to avoid capping the overall stack exposure of a certain MLB team in step three if wanting less exposure overall? For example, if you run a 20 max build and get 60% plus of a team as your most exposed team on default build settings, do you think there's an advantage to bumping up the exposure of other teams you would want exposure to and letting the builder do its thing? Or does it come down to preference when adjusting the exposures in step three? It is mostly a personal preference, mostly. So the biggest thing that is actually going to dictate how exposed you are to a particular stack or player or team or whatever is the sim precision slider, right? Because this is the biggest factor in determining how much exposure you're getting. So when you get to your build screen here, let me readjust things back to normal. So when we get to our build screen, you are going to get exposures to players that are like on average a good approach to what an appropriate amount of exposure makes sense for that particular contest size and slate, right? But it is not necessarily going to be perfect for everybody. Some people might look at this and think 50% exposure in 20 lineups to one hitter is far too much. Or in the case of stacks, right? Having 50% Tampa Bay stacks is too much risk for me for this particular lineup portfolio. Others might want 100% exposure to their favorite stack in their 20 lineups. There's not really necessarily a right or wrong answer. It's really a question of your own personal risk tolerance, how much exposure you want. I would say for 20 max kinds of contests. So first of all, a lot of times when I'm doing kind of my risk management here, I will often handle this more from the batters, the individual batters, than stacks. That's not really always necessarily true, but I would say in general, a lot of times I start there. And I'm generally okay with exposures that look like something like this. A lot of times for 20 lineups, I probably don't want more than 40 or 50% exposure to any one hitter. So I might walk this back a little bit and kind of cool off some of this Tampa Bay exposure. Wow, that really bumped up Dodgers all of a sudden. I don't want a ton of Dodgers either. So I might bring this down. And so I guess that was a good example. If I was getting 75% exposure to different hitters here, I would probably walk that back just because I like to play a pretty diversified portfolio of lineups. The most common outcomes for almost any hitter are almost always zero or less than 5 points. So a lot of times I want to be pretty diversified on my hitting pool, but it is primarily a risk tolerance question for your particular risk tolerance. The last note I'll make on that is a lot of times you will see that, you know, SaberSim will kind of parse if it's a better pitching slate or a better hitting slate. And most of the time you will see that, I think for a 20 max build, for a typical size slate, you'll see a relatively tighter pool of pitchers and fairly diversified hitters and stacks, right? Pitchers, I think, have a little bit of a more narrow range of outcomes. They're a little bit more reliable to score around their average projection. We can just see that looking at the actual distributions of these guys. Still pretty wide range of outcomes, but definitely more likely to score around their average than a hitter is. So I think in general, you will see this kind of trend. If there is a particularly bad pitching slate, sometimes you can see a situation where SaberSim by default will prefer to play a very concentrated pool of hitters and like maybe stack up two or three teams aggressively and then really spread out on pitchers. So sometimes on a slate-to-slate basis, I might prefer to be heavily exposed to one or two or three stacks and spread out on pitchers. But in general, this resembles how I typically set up my exposures for like a 20 max. I would play, you know, I might have a relatively tighter pool of pitchers and a pool of hitters where I'm capped at 40 or 50% exposure to any one hitter. As I go up in total number of unique lineups, if I'm playing 150, a lot of times my max exposure to a hitter in that case gets down to closer to like 30% because I'm just dealing, you know, with a lot more lineups in play. I don't need 40 or 50% of 150 lineups to have Mookie Betts in it, for example. As I bring my number of unique lineups down, if I'm only playing 10 or 5 or 3 lineups, I'm far more willing to have a lot more exposure to one hitter, right? 60%, 100% exposure to a hitter is still only 5 unique lineups at that point. So if I'm only playing 5 lineups, I might be willing to have more exposure to those guys. But it is mostly about personal risk tolerance as opposed to strategy. So let me know if that helps. Let me know if that was kind of clear. I should kind of wrap this up, I guess, by saying, you know, do I think there is an advantage to just bumping up the exposure of other teams? When I'm saying it's mostly a question of risk tolerance, what I'm really meaning is that you are probably not increasing your expected value of your lineups by adjusting those kinds of things, right? You are smoothing out your curve, basically your bankroll curve over time by playing a more spread out pool, a more diverse pool. The reason why I keep stressing mostly that is mostly about risk tolerance is because, you know, it is possible to make strategic decisions in step three that do increase the expected value of your lineup portfolio, right? If let's reset everything here, right? You know, so by default, we're getting a lot of Dodger stacks, which appear to be pretty low owned against the Phillies, which is somewhat surprising to me, but I don't know, big slate. Maybe that is what is going to happen, but maybe that's actually the perfect example. Perhaps that you actually think that the Dodgers are going to come in higher owned than projected, right? SaberSim kind of thinks, looking at these ownerships, one of the best plays on the slate is the Dodgers. But maybe, you know, you think that these guys are going to be 15% owned and it's actually going to be a pretty popular stack, right? You could bring down your exposure to Dodger stacks by 20%. And if you are right in that analysis and they end up being one of the higher owned stacks, that is likely something that actually increased the expected value of your lineup portfolio, because that was a strategic decision based on your research of the slate, something that the model was missing. That's a team that is actually going to be chalkier than expected, right? So that's kind of the difference there, where that's not so much about a risk tolerance thing. You're not saying, I don't want 75% exposure to any one stack. You're saying, I don't want this much exposure to this stack because I don't think it's the right way to play the slate. I think in general, most of the adjustments you make in the build screen are more about risk tolerance, but you can find opportunities like that here on a slate-to-slate basis to make more strategic decisions. So let me know if that helps. Let me know if that's clear what I'm saying there. But Craig said, will you guys implement any if-then type settings? For example, I have Jimmy Butler in a lineup. I want to make sure that I have either Tatum or Brown as well. If Jimmy isn't in the lineup, then the rule doesn't matter. Yes, that is something that is on our... that is on the roadmap. That is something we want to do. We call it conditional rules, basically, right? You can set player group rules at the moment, but you can't add a condition to it. It's all or nothing. So the idea of a conditional rule where if this player is in the lineup, then apply this rule, that is something we want to add in the future. I don't have a timeline for that. Now that this big update that we've been working hard on is out, we have kind of a next planned set of features that we're diving into here now. So I don't have an ETA for when we're planning on adding that, but it is something that we want to add in the future. So Glenn said, for NHL, does SaberSim take specific line correlation into account in the correlation data? It does. And you can kind of see it here. So let's take someone here. Oh, that wasn't helpful. So you can kind of see... so you can see these kind of splits with the correlations here. Let me pull this down so you guys can actually see this and make this a little bit bigger. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. Hold on. I want to make this screen bigger. So you can see these correlations. So you'll see this generally with skaters, right? Is the biggest correlations will be with the other skaters on the same line, right? So the same even strength or the same power play line. So we look at a guy like Gaudreau, right? Significant 0.3 to 0.23 correlations to the other guys on the same even strength or power play lines, right? The guys that are actually on the ice together. There are other minor correlations to the other guys on the same team for kind of, you know, random time on ice in a small set of sims where they happen to be on the ice at the same time together. But the biggest correlations are from skaters on the same line. On a two-game slate like we have now at this point, you know, your lineups are going to be similar to other high correlation sports, right? Your lineups correlation will be off in this case, and the correlation will come through naturally from the sim, right? So 10 sim precision, we're using a single game sim of each game and building the best possible lineup for that. So you're getting a lot of natural correlation because we're pulling in just a given game simulation there. So what I'm trying to say here is that for a two-game slate for hockey, you are less likely to see like the very pretty, perfect, you know, 3-3-2 type lineups that you might get in a 10-game, 8-game regular season NHL slate. But it does take into account that correlation here. And if you want to emphasize that correlation a little bit more beyond just what naturally comes through in a given single game sim, you can turn that correlation slider back up a little bit as well. So, but yes, it does take that into account. Alvin said, I don't play MLB, but there's a video discussing the MLB optimizer and it's sharp. SaberSim team is innovating at better projecting minor leaguers, accounting for change dimensions at Camden, etc. Yeah. So our baseball content here, We did a series of videos at the start of this season. I did a contest selection and bankroll management video here, and then we did a couple interviews with Matt and Will and different members of the SaberSim team about our models and our tools and things like that. So if you're interested in some of that content, it is up right at the top of our YouTube channel. So Metal Alloy said, in groups, if I don't want to use a team as a five-man stack, is there an easy way to have the best hitters on such teams serve as the one-offs for your five-man stacks without having to individually delete those players from each team? You're going to have to do some... if you want to get this exactly the way that you're... if you want to get this exactly precise, you probably are going to have to do a little bit of manual work here, either on the front end of the build or on the back end after the lineups are built. I think, you know, one thing that might help this process is by setting a stacking rule and specifying the teams that you want included in that stacking rule. So we can come in here, select your contest rules, then stacking, and say, I want a five-man stack, but I don't want it for every single team on the slate. And maybe you go through and select the particular teams that you're interested in five stacking, right? And maybe you haven't included the Yankees in here, right? Well, now when it comes time to build the lineups, right, instead of it'll build five stacks and maybe you have a five stacks, Padre stack or something like that. And in that particular sim, the Yankees also did well. But because of this rule, it uses Judge and Stanton as a two stack, or it uses a one-off Judge play or something like that in that lineup. So the setting a stacking rule here will kind of help get you a little bit further there. If you want to be very specific, right? And if you want to say, you can almost use any Yankees bat as a one-off, but maybe you really want to be specific and you say, the only Yankees bats that I want are Judge and Stanton. I mean, it will require you to come in here and curate a player pool a little bit more if you want to make absolutely certain you don't get any exposure to those guys. So, I would say I think the easiest thing to do here is if you have some idea of these are the teams I want to five stack and these are the players I want to one off. I think probably what I would do is remove the players from your pool that you don't want as one offs and then set a five stack rule in the stack settings, specifying that you want at least five players from the same team and what teams that rule applies to. That should get you very nearly exactly what you're looking for. With maybe a little bit of fine tuning there on the build screen as well to just dial that in. But Metal Alloy said, yes, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thanks. I think I have to do that in stage one. Yeah. So good rule of thumb, right? Like, what should you do up in front of the build? What should you do after the build? If you know exactly how you want to handle a situation, if you have an expectation of, I want my lineups to look like this, you are generally better served giving us that information up front. The build screen and the exposure setting and things like that are best used for fine tuning and dialing in and kind of doing some quality control. You will get a better and a more flexible pool of lineups in the post build process the more that you can give us up front. So that doesn't mean, you can't start with a build where you leave everything wide open, right? Start with a build, don't make any adjustments, see what things are looking like, and from there determine what extra work you need to do to get things dialed in. That's fine. But I think if you have, I only want to stack these six teams and I want my one-off pool of players to be this, let us know that up in front of, up ahead of time, and you'll get a better build in the build screen. So Tracy said, would the team ever write articles from the research build they use? We've talked about this here. We have, that is a pretty crowded space. I know there are dozens of like live before lock kind of shows and slate preview articles and things like that out there. I think at the moment our content is really, positioned to kind of be a little bit unique and different. I like coming on here and, talking how to use SaberSim and some broader DFS strategy as opposed to, how are we going to tackle the May 20th baseball slate at the moment. But with that said, it's something we've talked about incorporating into our content mix in a way that is a little bit more uniquely SaberSim still. Yes and no, I guess. It's not something that is like immediately slated that we're going to start doing, next week or anything like that. But we've kicked the idea around before of a way to, do a uniquely SaberSim, but also more slate focused kind of content, whether that's articles or a stream or a video or something like that. So, but if that's something that would be interesting to people, let me know in here or in Slack or on Twitter or whatever. If people, let me know if you'd be interested in that, that kind of thing. Some sort of slate specific kind of strategy, right? Something that's a little less focused on, how to use the tools and broader strategy, but more like here's, maybe an angle for this particular slate. So, yeah, Craig actually makes a really good point here too. And he said, you could also create a rule with a list of guys you want to use as one-offs and rule at least one of these guys and then deselect the team for stacking. Yes, that's a good point as well. If you wanted to get kind of precise, if you wanted to like really get precise about one-offs, you can add all of those names to a rule and say, you'd have to get pretty granular and do it on individual teams, but you could add, like, if you had five Yankees guys that you were willing to use, but only as one-offs, you could add them here as a player group and say, wait, can I do this? Yeah. Okay. And basically, like, let's say these are your one-off guys that you're comfortable playing as Yankees, but then say no more than one. And then that could be Yankees, right? And then you can add another group here, and maybe you have the same thing for Dodgers. So you're not stacking the Dodgers. But you maybe are playing, you know, no more than one of these guys. I don't know. I mean, to be fair, I don't know. This would work. This would do this. I don't know if this is a big value add in terms of the time it would take to go through and do this. But that would be, if you really wanted to get dialed in about your constructions there, you could do it that way. So. Cool. All right. There was a ton of conversation in chat here today, so I want to do one more scan through. And make sure I didn't miss any questions. I will feel really bad if I did, somebody that has been patiently waiting here for me. Matt said, hope you have your snow shovel ready. Stay safe out there. Yeah, we are getting like 4 to 6 inches of snow here overnight and tomorrow in the Denver area. So I know the Rockies game already got canceled. Does simplify things. It's always nice to have a Coors game get X'd out of the slate. Not that I don't like Coors slates, but I think... it's just always a weird wrench thrown into things when you got Coors on the slate. Let's see. Don't think it's looking like I didn't miss any questions here, which is good. So it's been a fun stream here today, but Neil said, Awesome Ho and Roto Grinders do it already. They have too much of a focus on individual players for my taste. I think I've listened to too much Blender Head. Yeah, I like their stuff. I mean, I listen to all kinds of different content. I'm definitely not talking down on anything else out there. And I listen to some of those shows. I think it can be nice to have on in the background when you're building your lineups and getting ready. It's just, there's a lot of that out there already. So we would want to do it in a way that was, kind of unique to us. But I think that's possible, right? Breaking down, you know, let's run a research build. Let's see what we get. What's an angle here for, you know, a smaller field single entry, right? What's maybe a strategy you could take for a 20 max, 150 max? What's a strategy you could take if you're playing like satellites and qualifiers or something like that, right? Just kind of, you know, a way of analyzing these things. I've kicked that idea around a little bit here. Metal Alloy said, I'm just trying to avoid crappy Pittsburgh players with limited ceilings as my one-offs. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, again, a lot of different ways you could do that. I think one would be, are the Pirates even on the main slate? Am I crazy? Well, they're not here tonight, but I get the point, right? Let's see if we can find some similar bad team, right? Maybe Oakland's a good example, right? You can come in here. I think, you know, an easy way to do that, kind of what we were talking about before, would be, you know, if there are any guys that you want that you'd be willing to play in a one-off, sometimes I think a decent way to do that is to just look at their home run equity, right? Like doesn't look like they have a lot here. Maybe for the A's, maybe it's nobody, and maybe you just take them out of your lineups. But maybe you're like willing to play a Seth Brown one-off, or maybe Brown and Murphy, right? I mean, automatically, if there's only two batters on the A's in your pool, the max you can get in a lineup for them is two of them, and I don't even hate the idea of that. But if you wanted to, you know, limit them even further, that would probably be a good opportunity to go in and say, you know, never both Brown and Murphy. As just an example, less than or equal to one. So, and you could do this on step three as well. It would also, you know, instead of setting the rule here, you could just have only these two players in your pool. And if you just so happen to get an A's two stack in your lineup on step three, just exit out. So there are a lot of different ways to do things on SaberSim. And it kind of depends on, you know, what makes sense to you. What does your process look like? What do you prefer with some of this stuff? So, HC said, how many Coors Lights will you consume on this snowy weekend, Jordan? I'm supposed to, we were supposed to have a backyard barbecue that we were going to tomorrow afternoon that I think is now going to be like an indoors kind of thing. But should get down a couple Coors Lights at that. So, but it's kind of fun. I mean, it's green here. It's starting to look like summer and we're going to get snow. It'll be kind of a weird vibe out there. So, but, cool. All right. Well, I think that is about it. I appreciate everybody that tuned in and hung out with me here on today's stream. This was a fun one. This was a good one. We had a big crew here. A lot of discussion in chat. Got an opportunity to talk a lot about what is unique about SaberSim, how to do different unique things for different folks' processes here. It is Friday, so our next stream will be on Monday next week, 2 p.m. Eastern. If you were watching this and you aren't already signed up with SaberSim, I know we had a couple new folks in the stream here today. I had mentioned it earlier, but free, completely no strings attached trial at our site, sabersim.com. So, you won't get charged if you don't like it. I hope you like it. I hope you sign up for a trial and then come join me at office hours on Monday, after using it for the whole weekend and ask me some more questions to get more familiarized. But, it's a free, a true free 7 days with full access to all of the features. So come check us out. I mentioned I will be right back here again on Monday next week, 2 p.m. Eastern. So good luck tonight. Good luck, with any DFS stuff you got going on this weekend. Enjoy your weekends and I will see you all next week. Until then, take care. See ya.